All right, we're going to jump into continuation. Pastor Chris was laying it down last week and did a great job. We've been on a series, Real Faith in a Counterfeit Age. And this week, just very quickly, it's kind of like worship part two. It's idolatry, worship part two, but we're just going to look at how worship reveals the heart. Worship reveals the heart. Now, Chris and Evan both did a really great job last week of digging into idolatry and worship. They talked about money, wealth, and possessions. Because it's such an easy focal point for discussion. And let's be honest, there are genuinely real issues that most of us have to come to terms with and confront in our pursuit of Jesus Christ. Today, I want to ask you to just hang with me for a little bit, but I want to merge two concepts, and I want to do this just from a point of evaluation for each and every one of us. The concept of idolatry, along with the concept of worship, and I want to merge those, and I want us to just be able to evaluate based on Jesus' teaching. Now, let's review some definitions that were given to us last week. Tim Keller, in his book, Counterfeit God, says, anything more important to you than God, this is what counterfeit gods, anything that absorbs your heart and imagination more than God, and anything that you seek to give you what only God can give you, is a counterfeit God. It's idolatry. John Mark Comer says this about idolatry: anything we rely on to give us what only God can give us. Now, Ed Stetzer, in an article called Idolatry is Alive Today, he gives this definition of idolatry. Is it that a 12-inch tall piece of wood or bronze can do something bad to us? Or is it that we do some things awful to ourselves when we place adoration and attention that should go to God in these other things? When it comes to idolatry, the danger is not in the item. It is in us. It's in us. So what we are doing this morning is a point of evaluation. We're trying to press in just in the same way that Jesus lived and proclaimed his life. Let's get off of the image and surface stuff. Let's let go of the religiosity, and let's dig into the heart and soul of who we really are. Think about this. Idolatry and worship are really all about the human heart. Worship is an outward expression of the individual human heart. Just think about that. Worship is an outward expression of the individual human heart. Now, we're going to jump back to Matthew chapter 4. And I just want to encourage you, because as we read Matthew chapter 4, we're kind of going backwards to a certain degree. But I'm just letting you guys know, this has been on my heart for months. We've talked about it in our study team. We've discussed it because I was so blown away on a whole new level when the Holy Spirit was speaking to me about the power of this passage with Jesus. So Matthew chapter 4, verses 8 through 11. Again, the devil took Jesus up to an exceedingly high mountain and showed him all the kingdoms of the world and their glory. And he said to him, all these things I will give you if you fall down and worship me. Then Jesus said to him, away with you, Satan, for it is written, You shall worship the Lord your God, and him only shall you serve. Then the devil left him, and behold, the angels came and ministered to him. Now, this is right along with what Deuteronomy taught, the Torah. People knew exactly what was being said all along. And yet, here's the thing that I want you to really think about. This is the thing that really got me. Lucifer, we believe the devil here, Lucifer is coming to the very Son of God. So think about, God came down, sent his Son, and he took on bodily form. So this is what I want us to just think about this morning, that as a human being in bodily form, one of the three temptations that he used with our Savior was worship. Just think about this. Because I think that so many times when we talk about worship, we kind of put it in a religious context. I just really took note of the power of worship within the human experience. If it wasn't such a powerful thing, then why would Satan use it on the very Son of God? And yet for most of us, I feel like that we kind of qualify worship and we put it in a particular group. And so I begin to think about all what I have seen, heard, and learned in my years on the planet. And so often, I hear people talk about worship and faith within the confines of religion. So if you're one of those people that when we talk about worship or faith, you kind of put it, there's like this religious category. And so what I'm asking you to do is to kind of step back from that false premise. And I want you to just look at worship and faith as a natural life experience outside the confines of religion. Think about it this way. Humans are more easily influenced by the power of misplaced worship than the average person wants to admit. Humans are more easily influenced by the power of misplaced worship than the average person wants to admit. Now, this morning, I'm not trying to make anybody feel guilty, and I'm not trying to heap condemnation on anybody today. What we're trying to do is consider the teachings of Jesus of Nazareth and take honest assessment of our inward person. I'm asking you this morning to look at your inward being, your inner person, and take an honest evaluation of your heart. Jesus constantly reinforced the original desire of Father God for mankind. And what was that? Deuteronomy, Matthew, all different places, to love him with all your being. It's the first and the greatest commandment. This process has to start somewhere. And this morning, I'm presenting to you that we believe that that somewhere is an honest evaluation of what is really important to each and every one of us. So let me ask you, can you be honest about what really grabbed your attention? What really grabbed your attention? What creates for you a fixation that is that this experience actually becomes like worship to you? You say, oh, Tim, I don't do that. Liar. Because we all do it in some shape, form, or fashion. So what is that thing that becomes a fixation that it's almost like you begin to worship that? Last week, Evan and Chris both talked about treasure. And I was taking notes while Chris was speaking. And in my notes from the teaching, I wrote down a progression because it just made sense to me as I'm listening to both services. So the things I treasure, think about for all of us. So I wrote down the things that I treasure become the areas where I invest my time. And ultimately, the thing that I treasure can become the focus of my worship. And here's the thing. But we don't typically use the word worship in the context of those things that we naturally love. Because there again, we take worship, and the reason that we get distracted and we get misplaced worship is because we kind of put worship over here in a religious category. But worship is a part of our everyday lives. So, I just want to be really honest with you. And I'm just talking about personal experience. Lori and I have dealt with so many people through the years that we've watched them. There's been a heavily investing of their time and their energies into something that they truly believed in. I'm not talking church. I'm just talking about general life. We've watched people make huge investments of time and energy into something that they truly believed in. They had faith, they had belief, they had confidence in this thing or this person. They placed their faith in that thing or that endeavor or that pursuit. And we've observed at a point in time this misplaced sense of worship and belief betrays them. Now, please understand, I'm not condemning anybody. I'm not throwing stones. I'm just telling you about, in my years of life, what Lori and I have observed in people's lives. What happens is they so invest so heavily in this thing, this experience, or maybe a person, and then at a certain point, they are left empty, devastated, and to be really honest with you, most of the time they turn to Lori and I, and they are in shock and disbelief at the outcome of their worship investment. Because this whole time that they've been placing faith and confidence in whatever this thing is, they are expecting, there's like this natural expectation of some kind of eternal reward or fulfillment like only God can do. So then when you get to a point where there's a betrayal of this investment, I can't tell you how many times, and I'm not talking about one or two times, I'm talking about a whole list of times since we got in ministry and until we started serving up until now. Well, people are looking at me like, Pastor Tim, I can't believe we're here. Because there's been a betrayal, because it was misplaced worship. So I'm just going to go through some modern day idol worship. And I want to include, there's a lot of things on this list. I want to present these to you as counterfeit worship experiences. And I need for you to hang with me, because some of you, you're going to be like, whoa. Counterfeit worship experiences, obviously we talked about it last week. Money and material possessions. It's an easy one. For some people, counterfeit worship experiences, job and status. Where's your source of identity? Identity source. And to be honest with you, this has always been an issue with us as human beings, but with technology, it's become more prolific of a struggle. Physical appearance or the human body? I see more people worshiping the human body and the physical appearance than I've ever seen in my lifetime. Another counterfeit worship experience, may sound silly to some of you, but animals, sports, entertainment, sex, and sexual expression. If you look in magazines, if you go online, this has become a huge focal of worship today. Don't be deceived. It's an area of worship. Along with comfort. Especially in America. Worship, comfort. Technology and phones. Some of us have been alive long enough, we understand the reality of this. Another one, counterfeit worship experiences, information and intellectual understanding. What is the next newest piece of information that's going to come out that's going to revolutionize our lives? Nature or outdoors. Influence, fame, and popularity. And lastly, a sensitive issue, family and children. I believe that every human being is born into this world with an innate ability to worship. If you look at me and you try to argue with me and you say, Pastor Tim, I don't believe that. Let's hang out. Let's spend some time together. And I will show you I will help you understand the things that are super important to you that have become worship points for you. Because it is innate within each and every single one of us, this innate ability to worship. Everyone within the sound of my voice places faith in someone or something. I regularly talk to people and they say, Pastor Tim, I don't have faith. And what they're doing is they're trying to relegate that to the context of a religious experience. And I'm like, no, every single person on the planet, every single day, places some kind of belief, faith, or confidence in someone or something. Everyone invests time, talents, and energy believing that someone or something will fulfill their lives and give them a sense of purpose. It's who we are. Let me say it this way. I'm trying to say it different ways to see if it'll make sense or resonate. And once again, I want you to understand, I'm trying to dig into the heart of things because this is at the heart of Jesus' teaching. Look at Matthew chapter 5, 6, and 7. Look at what he talked when he was walking the earth and what he was constantly trying to present is this is what's been said, but let's look a little deeper. Let's look at the heart. Think of it this way. Worship seems to be wrapped up in this simple process. There's a faith or a belief in someone or something to which you place your confidence. I get a kick out of people that say that they can't believe in God and they can't believe in the scripture, but they absolutely place their 100% confidence in some scientist or some ever-evolving, quote-unquote, level of science that is being updated and changed based on new, and yet they won't call that faith. It's faith. It's belief. It's confidence. And then based on this faith or this confidence, there's a profound investment of oneself in that pursuit or that belief. And because of this faith and profound investment, what I call it is a life focus is created. And I like to capture the focus part with the word loyalty. You become extremely loyal, think about this, to the things you worship. Let me say it once again. Worship is an outward expression of the individual human heart. Humans are more easily influenced by the power of misplaced worship than what we want to admit. And I'm talking within the church. And what we're trying to be is a family that believes in baby steps of learning to experience the love of God and learn to love Him. But the other BS, we're trying to put that away. We're trying to learn to be honest with ourselves. The battle for the human heart, the battle for the heart of man, you understand it's not a new battle. The forces of evil have been misplacing people's focal point and getting people to misplace their worship ever since the garden. Misplace affections. It's just natural. Now, I want you to look, and I'm going to ask you to study it on your own. A lot of you think Old Testament, New Testament, Old Testament, it's old, doesn't have anything to do. No, the battle for the heart is the same. I want to read to you Exodus 36, and I'm going to encourage you to read it and meditate on it on your own. But verse 22, listen to what was said in the Old Testament times. Listen to the proclamation and tell me it doesn't apply to us today. Therefore, say to the house of Israel, thus says the Lord God, I do not do this for your sake, O house of Israel, but for my holy name's sake, which you have profaned among the nations wherever you went. Do you understand the powerful proclamation? And I'm just going to be really honest with you. I feel like that these Old Testament verses apply to the church in America. Because a lot of times we have drugged God's name and we have profaned His name amongst the people that we're living with. Look at what it says. And I will sanctify my great name, which has been profaned among the nations, which you have profaned in their midst, and the nations shall know that I am the Lord, says the Lord God. This is how, when I am hallowed in you before their eyes. For I will take you from among the nations, gather you out of all the countries, and bring you into your own land, then I will sprinkle clean water on you and you shall be clean. Listen to this. I will cleanse you from all your filthiness and from all your idols. I will give you a new heart and put a new spirit within you. And I will take the heart of stone out of your flesh and give you a heart of flesh. I will put my spirit within you and cause you to walk in my statutes, and you will keep my judgments and do them. Here's the struggle that we all have. If we are not careful, we can talk a big game, but we don't have any room in our hearts and souls for the very one that we were created to know on the most personal level. You know why I know that? I hear people say to me all the time, "Oh, Pastor Tim, I'm so busy, I don't have time." Unless we're willing to be honest and evaluate ourselves, we have to make space for the very God that we were created to know. We were created by Father, Son, and Holy Spirit for worship. And whether you accept it or not, it's natural for each and every one of us to worship. The forces of evil know how easily we're distracted and how easily we misplace our worship. Humans are easily distracted and influenced by the power of misplaced worship. Please hear my heart this morning. I'm going to say it again. This is not about condemnation and judgment, but I am presenting to us this morning an opportunity to evaluate our hearts so that we can align ourselves with Father God and His love. The creator and the sustainer of the universe is trying to get our attention. This incredible being longs for you to know Him and believe in Him. Now, I need to go back about the list that I just shared with you. None of the things that I've listed this morning are inherently bad in and of themselves. Sex is not bad. You're created to be a sexual being. God, this is part of God's design. So many of the things that we talked about, but when we place them ahead of God in our hearts and minds, they become misplaced priorities for us. None of the things on that list are inherently bad or evil. Baseball, softball, work, family, hobbies, and so many other things, they're not inherently evil, but we need to learn to love God more than our experiences. Please hear my heart this morning. I'm not asking you to give up any of these things. That's not what I'm saying. I don't know what the Holy Spirit is saying to you, but that's not what I'm saying. Relationship with God is not a place where we go. I'm glad that we are here this morning, but you don't need to be in this barn. You don't need to be in a building that's dedicated for worship to experience God. But rather, it's a relationship, please hear me, that should impact every single experience in our lives. What it means is that doesn't mean that we don't practice harder because we have to go to a building to worship God. What I'm talking about is that the experiences I've presented to you this morning means that we work harder and we practice more. Here's the point. Because the game, the experience is now bigger than us. Think about this. It's about God and His kingdom being built through the very thing that we love, but it's because we love Him more. You know what I hear? I hear people talk about all different kinds of, I'm not asking you to not have the interest. I'm not asking you to not have things that you're passionate about. But what I am asking you to consider is, are those things elevated above your love for God? And if it is, then what you're going to have trouble with, if that thing is elevated above God, you don't typically revel in God while you're doing those things, but when the reverse order takes place and you put God as number one, then you can go out on the golf course, and as you're playing golf, you can invite people into the love of Jesus and the kingdom of God, because now you are beginning to understand that He's flowing through you to reach other people for His kingdom. And yeah, you love God, you love golf, but you love God more. And this is where we get things out of alignment. This is where we misplace things. Matthew chapter 15, verse 8 and 9. These people honor me with their lips, but their hearts are far from me. Hey, we can't be the kind of church family where we just talk a big game. Look at what it says. Their worship is a farce. Man, I heard some people singing praises to the Lord, and it was rocking this barn a little bit earlier. And I believe that that's from a beautiful heart of trying to learn to put Jesus as number one. Look at what the scripture says. For they teach man-made ideas as commands from God. Why are we looking at what Jesus taught? Why are we looking at what Jesus lived? So that we can stay focused. John chapter 4, verse 23 and 24. But the time is coming, and indeed it's here now, when true worshipers will worship the Father in spirit and in truth. The Father is looking for those who will worship him that way. For God is spirit, and those who worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. David Foster Wallace said, there is no such thing as not worshiping. Everybody worships. The only choice we get is what to worship. St. Augustine made this statement long ago. You have made us for yourself, O Lord, and our hearts are restless until they rest in you. You know, this reality has not changed through the years. I'm asking you to allow God to occupy that place in your heart so that you can experience the presence and the fullness of God. Worship is a natural response to experiencing the love and cleansing and forgiveness of God. To know him is to want to know him more and to make more room for him in your everyday life. He wants your heart. He wants your affection. He wants your love. And he wants your worship. He loves you and cares for you in spite of your faults, your failures, and your shortcomings. And here's the thing before we listen to a 60-second clip of a song to just wrap things up. We're in a temporary state in these physical bodies. And the worship that you expend can be temporary, and you're going to get the reward here, good or bad. Or you can transfer to opening yourself up and believing that Jesus is the Son of God and experience these incredible things from the very creator of the universe wanting to be in relationship with you. And then what you are now doing is taking your worship and creating an eternal investment that's going to yield something over and over and over again. Worship reveals our hearts. So I want you to stand this morning as we wrap up, and I want you to listen to the lyrics as we transition to our last song. Because this is the kind of church family that we need to be, and we need to keep learning how to press into the love of God. Let's stand and listen to the lyrics.
When the music fades, all is stripped away, and I simply come, longing just to bring something that's of worth, that will bless your heart. I'll bring you more than a song, for a song in itself is not what you have required. You search much deeper within, through the way things appear. You're looking into my heart. I'm coming back to the heart. heart of worship, and it's all about you. It's all about you, Jesus. I'm sorry, Lord, for the thing I've made it. When it's all about you, it's all about you, Jesus. King of endless worth, no one could express how much you deserve. Though I'm weak and poor, all I have is yours, every single breath. I'll bring you more than a song, for a song in itself is not what you have required. You search much deeper within, through the way things appear. You're looking into my heart, yeah. And I'm coming back to the heart of worship, and it's all about you. It's all about you, Jesus. I'm sorry, Lord, for the thing I've made. When it's all about you, it's all about you, Jesus. I'm coming back to the heart of worship, 'cause it's all about you. It's all about you, Jesus. I'm sorry, Lord, for the thing I've made, 'cause it's all about you. It's all about you, Jesus. All about you.
Into my heart, into my heart.